let's turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 28. Genesis, chapter 28. I'm not going to read but one or two verses because of the time, but the reason I get up here so early is so I can give, you know, have time enough to at least preach to where it'll be enough to, for encouragement for Sister Nancy. She goes to work and, you know, plus two, I think is appropriate the Word of God we need to have, the Word of God we need to have prayer. But when it comes down to the service, I think besides prayer and in fellowship and everything, I think the main thing is the Word of God. That's what encourages us. But in the songs of Zion and what we sing, it prepares it hard. So when we stand and we hear the Word of God, that the Word of God will lay on the heart, where our heart would be softened, and we can take and understand what the Word of God is saying. But here in chapter 28, over here in verse 10, it says, And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And over here in verse 20, and it says, and Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this day, and I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on. Verse 21, I'm going to read verse 21 to you. So that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this day. Now, Father, we just ask, Lord, that you just speak the words to hearts that are here today. Father, speak to my own heart, Lord. And, Father, we just want to give you the praise, the glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we ask, amen and amen. Right here we can see, we can go back, and we need to, and really, probably what we need to do is probably go and read the whole chapter of the book of in chapter 28, but for the sake of time this morning, I just want to read them two or three verses there. But you know something? Jacob said something there in his prayer. And he was praying to God the Father. And it says, and Jacob vowed a vow. And vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on. He made a vow to God. As long as God provides the food, as long as God provides the raiment, other words, his clothes, as long as God spoke to his heart, he was going to do exactly what God said, because he vowed that vow. We know that some people today, they will come, and even the first part of this year, January the 1st, I know that you had a whole lot of people out here that they made New Year's resolutions. Well, what they done, they made a vow. They made a vow to what they wanted to do that year in their life. Some of them made a vow that they're going to lose weight. Some of them made a vow that they're going to be more faithful to God. Some's made other vows. But the thing about it is, during the year, and probably ain't but just the first 4 or 5 days in a year, the vow has been broken. Because the thing about it, even if you say, well, this year I'm going to lose weight this year. I'm going to want to diet, and I'm going to lose weight this year. Once you have went in another direction with that weight, you have disobeyed your vow. Your vow was not taken seriously. And we don't take the vow seriously that we make to God. We really don't. And when I was reading this, and when I read this chapter and getting down here and everything, I mean, I said, Lord, I said, I'm sorry. That's all I could do. I say, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Because I know I've made vows unto God, and I haven't kept them. So in that case, if I didn't keep them, what did I do? I broke the fellowship between me and God. Anytime that you promise God that you're going to do something, and if we don't do it, we're breaking our fellowship with God. Because the only way we can do anything, and the only way we can go to other people and visit other people, is through the power of God. And if we go, God is going to give us the very words to say. And I still believe this, and I'll still say it. That I believe before you leave your home, if you go from your home to the other home of the individual that you're going to go visit, you must pray before you leave home. You must pray for the Lord to help you with that visit. And when you get it, when you get in your automobile and when you go to that individual's place, you need to say another prayer before you get out of your automobile. I believe that. That the Lord will give you the very words to say to the individual. When you're talking to God, and a whole lot of time it's better to talk to God that much than it is in coming to God's house and talking to him and promising him this and that and don't do it. But God is also working on the individual that we go see. Because God's already spoken to us. That's one reason that I say, and I know a whole lot of people, they'll ask the pastor of the church to go visit so-and-so. Well, if they can't go visit, I'll go visit them. Yeah, I'll go visit them. But the thing about it, but the individual that the Lord has laid that soul on the heart, that they would love to see them in church. See, the Lord's already spoke to the individual about you coming. See, if the Lord speaks to me, see, the Lord spoke to me about going and seeing that individual. Well, I'm going to see him. But now if I come up and I say, well, Lord, I just ain't got time. I just don't think I can do it. And if I say, Bill, Donna, how about y'all going down and visiting this individual? And I'll give you that address and the name. They can go, yeah, they can go. And they probably would go. But when they get down, the individual was expecting somebody else.
Well, how do you know they were expecting somebody else? Because God's already spoke to them. God's already spoke to them. Because when you go in, that is when I believe that what that's a portion of what God said, that our spirits will go together. My spirit will bear witness with your spirit, and your spirit will bear witness with mine. They may not be in church, they may not be saved, but they still got a spirit. They have still got a spirit. Well, what kind of spirit do they have? Well, my spirit is going to dwell with them. Why? Because God's already spoke to the heart. So we don't need to make a vow and not keep it.
That's just like somebody coming up and joining a church. When they come forward and if they ask me, says, I would love to join a church. First thing I would ask them, I'd say, are you saved? And they say, yeah. Are you going to be faithful to the church? Yes. Are you going to be faithful in your time, your tithes? Are you going to be faithful in helping the church grow? Yeah. But see, and what they don't realize, that they just didn't tell me. They just didn't promise me. And they just didn't promise you, the church. And they just didn't promise God. They made a vow to each one of us and God that they would be faithful to the church, that they would be here and backing the church and helping the church to grow. But yet, oh, they'll come maybe a week or two or maybe a month, and then they... up with a headache. Well, I mean, I believe I'd rather be in God's house with a headache than be at home with a headache. Because when you're at home with a headache, you ain't gonna hear nothing from God. But when you're in church with a headache, and if you don't believe it, you try. The next time you got a headache, you try it. You come to church. Come to church. Before the church service is over, the headache will be gone. And I know we have sickness. We have ailments. We have pain. Yes, I have too. I've experienced it. I've experienced it in the last couple, two or three years. I've experienced some things that I had never experienced before. And I had to miss church. But I did not miss it because I wanted to. I missed it because I was not able to come. And I missed it. Because I knew I missed a blessing. So when we, and I, that's one reason I try my very best. On Monday, I really basically on Monday I have to say that's a day of my rest, but I can hardly do anything coming Sunday morning, Sunday night, and standing up here and preaching. And I know that each and every one of you say, well, you can sit down. I know I can. It ain't like that I ain't got a seat that I can't pick. I mean, I can pick any seat I want to in here. Over on that side, this side, up here. But I don't feel comfortable in sitting. Why? Because I'm not, I don't think I'm doing what God's asked me to do. Now I know if I get down to the point to where my leg completely give out and I can't walk no more, I've either got to make one or two choices.
Either I've got to continue on being faithful to God, continue on doing what God's asked me to do, and give into the wheelchair or give into something else. And I come in here. Oh yeah, I come in here and I can sit in that wheelchair. And I can preach from that wheelchair. But I'll tell you one thing. I've seen one individual since I've been preaching. Was in a wheelchair. Not just a regular wheelchair, one of these motorized wheelchairs. He was sitting in that wheelchair, and he was up front, and he was right in front of his communion table, and he was preaching. This individual, he lost both legs. But I'm going to tell you something. You're talking about the Spirit of God. God was all over that man. And I've seen him take his hands, and the next thing I knew, the only thing I could see was just a complete lily out up under him. I could not even see where he sat down or anything. Thank you. All right. Bye-bye. But they could not see nothing. He was not sitting on the wheelchair. His hands was not even on the bars or anything. His hands was free. His hand was just as free as mine right here in the air. And his body from his waist up was not touching a thing. I seen it. And if somebody had told me that and I hadn't seen it, I said, there ain't no way. I couldn't believe it. I mean, that's just like what I've heard some of y'all say, that when Brother Poole was here, or even, and I've seen Brother Paul Siss, I've seen him do this, that Paul Siss, and he's done it one time. Since I've been here too, I mean, he'll be up here preaching, and all of a sudden he'll take that leg, and that boot will be up on the top here. Well, he ain't much more, and I mean, he ain't much taller than the podium is up here. But he gets his leg up out. Why? Because God's what God wants it. So what God is saying to us, and what God is saying to Jacob, and he's saying to Jacob, Jacob, I want you to do what I've asked you, and I want you to do what I told you to do. I don't want you to come up with no kind of excuses. Why? Because God knew that if Jacob broke the vow, he knew where he was going to be. He's going to be separated from God. Look at how many times people down through years have broken a vow. How many vows has Peter broken? Peter broke a vow every day. Peter would be up there walking with the Lord and talking with the Lord. And then the Lord said, well, I got to go over here in this little city over here, this town over here for a little while. And says, but I want you to go over here. And Peter would start walking away from the Lord and everything, going to any direction the Lord wanted him to go. And the next thing you know, Peter would be, he'd come across somebody walking. And they would ask him, says, Peter, that's you? Yeah, you know who I am. What I want to ask you is, won't that the Messiah? Won't that the man called Jesus that you was walking with and talking to, early in the day? Jesus says, no, it won't be. It won't be. He broke a vow, not just to himself, but he broke a vow to Jesus Christ. And he broke a vow to the Father. How many vows do we break each and every day? When the Lord has asked us to do something. And see, and I want you to get this now. The Lord
will not, has not, and does not ask us to do anything if we can't do it. If the Lord asked us to do something for him, and if he asked us to do something for somebody else, that's doing something for the Lord. And he is not going to ask me to do something that he knows that I cannot do. Because I know, as far as my own self, I can look at every avenue that there is, and I can say it's impossible. It is impossible with me. It's impossible for me to just to be able to walk up here. It's impossible for me to read God's word. But everything is possible with God. So God's not going to ask us to do the impossible. Only thing God wants us to do is the possibles. Because what does God want from it? He wants his son to be honored. He wants his son to be lifted up. He wants his son to be worshiped. That's the reason we're here. That's the reason God has brought us together here this morning. So we could honor the Lord Jesus Christ and all of what he's done. Don't you think that Jesus done the right thing? Would anybody else have done the things that Jesus had done for you or for me? No. Could I have done the same thing for my wife or my daughter like Jesus done? Nope. I'm just being honest. I know some people who come, some preachers come in and say, yes, I would. They better watch out. When you make a vow and you say something like that, sometimes God will put us to the test like he did Abraham. Abraham, God had promised all the blessings to Abraham, that the people of Israel would look at Abraham as the nation because he was the father of all nations. That's what it says in chapter 12 in the book of Genesis. But in chapter 21 and 22, especially chapter 20, 21, Abraham, he was getting a little, I'm not going to say he was getting a little arrogant or nothing like that, but his faith was dwelling. His faith was not as strong as it was when it was in back. When the Lord, when God told him, he says, Abraham, I will make you a father of all nations. His faith
wasn't that strong. And the reason it wasn't that strong, because he knew in his own self that he could not even do that. And when you say that you can't do it, don't say we can't do it. Don't say, I should say, I can't do that. I can do that. As long as God is in front of me, as long as God is leading me in that direction, I can do it. So, in saying that, what's that? What, preacher? I just can't. I can't go out and visit someone. If I call someone, I don't know what to say to them. Well, what about that long lost niece that it's been several years that you can't talk to? You say you can't talk to. What about them? If you happen to see them out, if you saw them at a funeral, what? Now, don't. Should not have brought that up. But you know what people look to funeral when they go to a funeral home?
It's a gathering place, is all it is. It's a gathering place where they can meet old friends and companions. They don't go, a whole lot of people don't go to the funeral home to what they're going there for. To be comfort for the family. You know what
funerals I've held, when I'm up at the back there and when they call me up or when I know that I'm supposed to get up, and I'm supposed to bring when I bring the message, I don't look to the people.
I don't look to all the other people I do. My eyes is focused on the family. Because that's the reason I'm there, it's for the family. That's the reason God left us with the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. The what? He can have his family comforted. Who is his family? If you're saved, you're his family. You're part of the family. And he wants the very best for you. I know at one time that I had people talking to me and I said, they invited me to church. I said, don't bother me with that no more. I have other things that I'm doing. They said, what's more important than that? Well, I said, well, you see, man. I work 5.5, almost 6 days a week sometimes. Sunday, me and a friend of mine, we just get together. And we just go hook up to the boat. We'll go down to Bugs Island, we'll go to Hyco or Smith Mountain, or Philpa, we'll go fishing. They said, that's not going to bring me happiness. Only thing that's going to bring you mad is when you go, get on that lake, move in that boat. It is, you spend it, and which, when I first started going, I wasn't spending all that much money for gas because the gas prices were going up. But when it started getting up, I was spending $20 for gas for the boat. Then I spent another $25 for the truck to go. And I'd get up 3 o'clock in the morning so me and my buddy could leave at fine. So we could be down there on the lake at 6 o'clock. Get down on the lake at 6 o'clock, we stayed all day to 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Here I am to spend $45, $50 on gasoline. And all the time traveling down there. And all the time traveling back. And the first thing they ask me when I get home, well, how many did you catch today? None. I didn't catch a one. Well, see, God's word told me, he says, you come and follow me. I can make you fishers of men. And it says over in the gospel somewhere, I said, then I will also give you a net, the way you can catch them. The net represents the Word of God. That's what the net represents the Word of God. And if we'll use the net properly, the way it needs to be used, he promises us that we can catch 153 is what he's got in the Bible. We can catch 153. But just, I want to ask you something. If you, as an individual, say, well, I tell you what, I'm going to try what the pastor said. I'm going to just try what he said. I'm going to just try it. I'm going to just let go of myself and everything. And I'm going to just, I'm not going to be so bashful. Not like, I'm going to go and I'm going to talk to some friends that I know of. And I'm going to talk to them about the Bible. And I'm going to talk to them about church. Do they go to church anymore? Then you come to find out that they don't go to church nowhere. Then you invite them to church and say, you just invite them to church. Well, you need to come on down and try the church where I'm at. Says, we don't have that many people, but I promise you one thing, you'll hear something that will encourage you the next week. And if you've done that, and then they start coming. And maybe a couple, two or three weeks after they start coming, one day you'll be talking to them. And they said, well, I like it down there. I really do. There's just something wrong. Just something wrong. I can't pinpoint. Do you know the Lord as your personal Savior? Do you know Him in a way where you can just sit down and just have a conversation with Him? We don't have to come up with no big fancy word. We don't have to come up with scripture. Just tell Him about our testimony. Tell Him what God has done for us. I can sit down and I can tell somebody. I can talk to somebody for 8 solid hours, probably more than that, and what God has done for me, and what God has done for my family. That right there encourages me. It will also encourage you to where you'll say, you know something?
And said, you know, it's still there in my mind about what he said about the net. The net is the Word of God, and we can cast that net out. In other words, we're getting God's Word out. It goes out and goes forth. it will land on someone's heart. And then they will come and ask you, says, what do I need to come and be faithful to the church? And what do I need? The next thing you do, just ask them, have you ever been saved? And they're going to say, they'll come up and they'll say, no, I've never been saved. Then you say, would you like to? They say, yeah. And then, that's it. Oh, I mean, really, basically, when you really come down to it and everything, I believe that when they admitted that right there, that they're saved. But we must take over there what it says in the book of Romans. We must tell them what God's word says. We must tell them that. Over here in Romans chapter 10, and I'm going to read these verses to you. I know probably y'all, each and every one of you probably know the whole chapter in the book of Romans chapter 10. Can probably read each and every verse. But see, the very first verse in the book of Romans says, Brethren, that's where I'm talking to you. Brethren, my heart desires and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Verse 2, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. But then it goes on down here to say down here in verse 8, it says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him, speaking of Jesus Christ, that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Do we believe in him? Do we believe in what he done when he went to Calvary and when he shed his blood? Do we believe that? If we believe that in our heart, he says that we, verse 11, whosoever believeth on him, and I do believe in him. I believe in everything that he has said, everything that he has done. I believe everything that he has not even said. I believe him. I believe. And he says to me, then if you believe what this word says, if you believe in him, if you believe in everything that he's done for you, then you shall not be ashamed. Matter of fact, what he's saying is, you cannot be ashamed. You cannot be ashamed of him. For there is no difference between the Jews and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We make it so complicated. People think it's so complicated in getting saved. No, you know what the complication, you know what the complication lies at? The complication lies at is after we're saved. Because we don't want to do what he's asked us to do. That's where the complication comes in at. But we must not never be ashamed of doing anything for the Lord. And how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? It is it written, how beautiful are the fruit or the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? By the word of God. See, the word of God is what saves us. It just tells us. But what saith, let's see, now we move about. No. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Verse 16. People haven't obeyed the gospel. I don't know how many people was here in any church before I come. I don't know how many was here each and every service. But I know some of them, if it was any, they haven't obeyed the gospel. We'll see it. I'm not saying something that God didn't say. They say God that they're not obeying the gospel. They have not all obeyed the gospel. And the people. And the people that left the church. Now I'm just talking about the ones that have come in and I've seen was here, but now they're not here. They're here if we have a luncheon, or if we have hot dogs, or if we have a stew. Oh, they'll show up for that. They'll show up for them. It's something to feed the belly. But they will not show up to feed the soul. They haven't obeyed the gospel. They haven't obeyed. This is one thing that I see today. People, their disobedience. People that disobey God will disobey you, disobey me, disobey their own parents. They will disobey. And they say that they did. They said, no, I ain't, they're not me. You know the reason I'm down here? Because God called me to preach. And God burned me down about pastoring. That's the reason I'm here. I just didn't leave Community Baptist Church to come down here. I come down here because God opened the door. But now if God had never called me to preach, if God had never
call me the pastor. If God never called me to do anything, we'll just be faithful to his house. It would have been wrong for me to leave Community Baptist Church if somebody said something about me. It'd been wrong. I've been disobeying God. But people will allow someone else to interrupt their fellowship with the Lord.
You know, and I'm gonna close with this. Yesterday afternoon, me and Sheba was talking. And yeah, down at my brother's house, I told his wife, I says, you know, I love for y'all to come to that church at least one time. I said, y'all done promised me, and David's promised me that he was coming. And I says, and I don't know if he ever will or not, or y'all ever will. I said, but I would love for y'all to come at least one time. It would tickle me to death. It would tickle me to the point that I'd probably get up and shout and cry and do all of this. And after talking to them and everything, then some more people come in that we knew, me and my wife knew. Matter of fact, my wife worked with the individual's wife, which she was his. Her boss or whatever she was up there, but then the name was his name was Rocky and her name was
Rita.
And Rocky and Rita Fletcher. And I invited them to come. And you know, it's not that I'm saying that they won't never come. I don't know. But I invited them. I do what God asked me to do. And I invited them. And I said something to Shelby coming on back home. And I says, I know you say sometimes you look like you're down. And says, we can ask you what's the matter, and you never say anything. I said, no. But sometimes I know that Kelly and Johnny and the two kids was coming out for a little while. Then I got Brenda and Charlie in the church over here. Both of them said they're saved. Johnny and Kelly both said they're saved. I've invited Ricky, they've come. He says he's saved. His wife says same thing. But no, none of them go to church anywhere at all now. Yeah, I call them. I don't say that much into them about church anymore. I just call them, see how they're doing. And I was telling Shelby yesterday, I said, sometimes I just wonder, is it me? Is it me that something that I may have said, or they took the wrong way, and they just said that, no, we ain't got, well, I'm not going back down there. Now, I know that I could probably come and ask you, each and every one of you, or probably not even come and ask you, but probably some of you are coming up to me afterwards and say, no, it's nothing you've done. Even though that I may hear it from you, but it still bothers me to the point to where I feel like that I've said something to discourage the individual. Now, I may head right at first. I don't know. But the only thing that I'm here for, I'm here to preach God's word. And I'm here to be a pastor to the people. And if they don't see me as the pastor type material, then they need to talk to me or they need to talk to some of you. But in saying that, the only thing that I'm trying to get across to people, and it seems like maybe I may not be using the right words or something to where they misunderstand me.
But there's not an individual that has not come through these doors, including you, and all the other individuals in the past that's come in. The ones that's come in during the Jubilee that don't go to church no more. Yes, and we've had a few of them come in like that. But within them and within all the other churches that come in, these doors here, in this sanctuary here, the Faith Baptist Church, what I want for the people, I want them to feel the same and have the same joy that I have. I want them to have the same zeal in pleasing the Lord. And they really don't know how much they've given up. How much they've given up when they don't come. When they're not faithful to God. No doubt I can probably stay right here. I can spend probably the next half hour, maybe the next hour, go around each and every one of them and just ask you, can you name at least one thing the Lord has blessed you? No doubt each and every one probably wouldn't just stop at one. Probably stop at two. You could name them and you could name them. Know where your blessings come from. Lord has a special blessing for His people, the ones that obey Him. Now, I'm not saying that these other individuals that's not here, that don't come, that they just come to, if we have a cookout or something like that, or if we have a something special, they may come. I'm not saying that they're not saved. I'm not saying that. They could well be saved. They just haven't allowed the Lord. See, they think that they can take care of themselves a whole lot more than the Lord. Can you say yourself that you can go day by day, after days and weeks and months, say that you can take care of things, but than the Lord? I can't. I need the Lord in everything that I do. But I tell you what, the Lord has blessed me. Because I'm going to tell you that one time I was beginning to wonder,
how much longer I would be able to stay and preach because of what I was going through. I mean, there for a while, and you know yourself, there for a while, it seemed like almost every service, I'd either be coming down the steps or walking down the aisle, and I'd fall. See, I didn't give up on God. If I said no,
ship out.
I just got to go talk to the people, and I got to tell the people this. I'm just falling too much. My legs are giving out. I just can't do it. I can't do what I need to do down there. I can't go and visit. I believe today that I would not even be able to stand on my feet at all. Why? Because I can give you to the devil. I see, that's all was the devil that was in the hold of my mind. See, he wanted me to give up. He wanted me to quit. Because see, the devil knew that if I had an opportunity once again to go out here and visit somebody, and if I had the opportunity to tell them about the Lord, and if I had an opportunity to lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ, that they could be saved. He knew that if I had that opportunity once again, he knew that I'd do it. He knew I would do it. The Lord knew that. I mean, the devil knew more than what I knew. See, because I was having a pity me party, and I shouldn't have had a pity me party. I should have been just praising God the whole time. See, the devil will trick us. He will tell you also. You may get home this evening, maybe tomorrow, or sometime this week. Somebody that you haven't talked to enough, or you haven't seen in a long time. And you may go out, and you may go to the over Walmart or Sam's, somewhere like that, and you may run into them. Don't think it was an accident. Don't think it was an accident because you haven't seen them in 2, 3, 4, 5 years, and now all of a sudden you see them. We're going to think it's an accident that we just come across of them. It's been so long since I've seen you. It has. See, the Lord knew where they was at. Not only that, the Lord knew exactly what time they was going to be at Walmart. And the Lord knew exactly what time you need to be at Walmart. So he placed them there and you there. For what reason? Get reacquainted. And then you can talk to them. And then the next thing you know, your dad says, you go to church, you know what? Well, they say, oh, yeah, I go to church. I'm going to tell you one thing. We forgot that fantastic pastor down there. I got saved. And you can say, huh? And you wonder the whole time about, hey, we
by other people. I'm encouraged every single day by somebody else. They may be doing wrong, but I'm still encouraged. Why? I'm encouraged because I'm not doing what they do. I'm encouraged that I have somebody to tell me what they're doing is wrong. And I know you want to go away, but you can't. I'm sorry, you can't go over there. I want this church, and I told y'all the other week what my vision was. I've never lost that vision. But there's no reason why this church, by the Jubilee time, have at least 40, 45 people in it that has come in and visited and then end up joining the church and be fellowship with us. There's no reason then that it should not happen. Because we have the Lord. We have God. That's what God wants. If God did not want it, God would have never given me the vision of it. If God did not want this church to be what it should be and what it ought to be, then God would have never given me the vision. See, I know too that if something happens and the devil keeps on going on like he's going and keeping people from coming and visiting the church, and then I just, well, no need. I go to Brother Bill and I say, Brother Bill, I say, you know something, it's no need. And me coming down there and just taking the money that you give me, the church is not doing anything. The church is not growing. And I tell them, I say, y'all, I'm going to have to leave. Would that be the right thing for me to do as a Christian? Would that be the right thing for me to do as the preacher of this church? Would that be the right thing for me to do to be a child of God? Would it be a right thing for me to do for you that are here? Would it be the right thing for me to do? No. No. God placed me here, and God's the one's going to have to remove me from it. And He will do it if He has to. If He comes to see where I am the hindrance, then God will remove me from the premises. But my prayer is that I'm not a hindrance to you. My prayer is that I'm helping, trying to help you. I'm trying to help you to realize that we need to do our part. God has done His part. And God can do no more than what we can do. You ever thought about that? Ruth, have you thought about it? Are we just waiting on, I know it's like 25 hours, but I promise I'm going to leave at 3 in just a second. I know the city didn't, they say, well, the wise will tell you, say, oh, they don't quit until at least 3 times, the 3rd time they may quit. What is the Lord God is here for? What does He have us here for? He's not going to come down. The the Lord's not going to come down and speak to somebody across the room from us. The only way that somebody else, if they can get back in church, is for us to visit them and for us to pray for them. We're not doing our part. I'm not doing my part. We're not doing our part. Because if we was, we'd have other people coming in. And say, I just thought I'd come by. I want to see. I just heard some things about the church down there. I said, y'all doing? And I know y'all a small church and everything. He said, I understand. It don't bother the preacher, nothing like that. So I just thought I'd come by and see. Well, that's Pat. No. I mean, if we don't have two or three, I'm going to be here. I know we've canceled some times during this past winter time because of snow and different things. But you can just about bet, when I cancel the service, I cancel. Because I'm looking after you. Because I can probably name the ones. If we got a snowfall this evening, and if we ended up having 5 or 6 inches of snow this afternoon before 5 o'clock, and if I just cut and said, well, yeah, we're going to keep on having, we're going to have surgery. I'm not going to cut. I know some will be here. But Bill, you ain't got to be here. Some way you can get here. Sister Irma, Sister Betty, I don't blame you for. I'm waiting for one bit. If I had the right mind at the time, I would have called and canceled the service. Sister Hub, I knew if you could get off it, if you could get out of your driveway and you could get on your road and everything, you'd be here. But let me ask you something else, though. What if all that happened? What if you come and an individual hits your vehicle? Or if you get out of your vehicle like here on the parking lot and you want to come into the church, and you step out on the pavement, the pavement may look clear, but you do have stuff that's called black ice. And you step out in a parking lot, and all of a sudden, your feet go out from under you. You land on your side. You break your heel. Sister Huff, you break your heel. Well, that's what I knew the Lord's going to be with. Yeah, the Lord's going to be with, I know that. But then the thing about it is, instead of just me just being sensible, and an individual in his right mind said, no, we're not going to have service tonight. Just go on council services. If I council service, yeah, you wouldn't have been here. But just think. Got up in the morning, sun come out, started melting, and it was all gone by Wednesday morning. Wednesday night, we had church. If I council service Sunday night because of snow, You know, being on Wednesday night. Well, see, if I went on and said, no, I ain't a counselor. I ain't a counselor, sir. I'll be stuck. I'm not a counselor, sir. And you come and you break your hip, you're not going to be here Wednesday night. You're not going to be here next Sunday either. You ain't going to be here next Sunday night or the next Wednesday night. Maybe a month or two before you get back. So if I do happen to call the council service because of the weather, it's not because it's something that I want to do. It's not something that I want to do. Because I just soon be here to preach here than to be there at the house preaching to Shelby and Christy when they don't mind and they won't say anything. Yeah. I mean, they just shrug their shoulders and everything. I'd rather be here. But the thing about it is, if I come and if there ain't nobody here, what if a guy does it? Right? I'm just trying to look after you, people. And I honestly believe, I could be wrong. See, I noticed when I was looking at following the rain, and I step off three steps right here, and I fall and hit the floor. One time, I was just out here talking to somebody, and all of a sudden, I fell back to the floor. Did y'all keep on just talking about what you're talking about? No. Come to my rescue. I'll be at your rescue. But the only way I can be there is if you call me. I can't be there if you don't call me. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Lord, I just want to thank you that I can call you my personal friend. That I can call you my father, my daddy, my papa. And I'm so glad that your son, Jesus Christ, went to Calvary, shed his blood for me, that I could be in the family of God. And I would have an elder brother that's making intercession for me. He's never lost a case. And Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, you'll go with us this afternoon. We'll go to our home. And Father, once again, I just want to apologize to the people. Father, in what time it took. But Father, I am not apologizing for the Word of God. I'm so thankful that it's through the power the Holy Spirit and pray. In Jesus' name, yes. Amen. And amen. And everyone is dismissed.